Here's a question for you. What do termites know about architecture? Let me turn that around. What do architects know about termites? Well, in the case of the man you're about to meet, a significant amount. Now, Mick Pierce, he's a Zimbabwe-based architect. He has dedicated much of his professional life to creating buildings that take fundamental design principles from the natural world. We're going to introduce you to the idea of biomimicry. Mick joins us from Zimbabwe via Skype. Welcome.
Hi.
Fascinating word, an interesting word, biomimicry. Explain the thought behind that word to us.
It's when you study processes in nature and you copy the processes to inspire design.
Because when I think about nature and design, you're not replicating shapes. As you say, you're talking about a deeper level of process.
That's right. In the case of the termites, they build buildings. And what fascinates me is that they are blind and they live in the world of pheromones, which is like smell. Mm. So their senses are quite different. Because the pheromone evaporates, the architect for the termites is probably the air movement or the sun. And so the building they make is an interaction or a sort of a shape shaped by the natural forces acting on the building process.
I mean, what do those buildings do for the termites? What's their purpose and how are they functioning for the termites that live in them?
Well, the species that I watched a lot here in Zimbabwe, not quite like the ones in Darwin, they're an open chimney. And when you look down into them, you see thousands of creatures enjoying an environment which really suits them. They have no clothes. So unlike us, they have to air condition the city in which they live. Now, actually, that's quite a good idea. If we air conditioned our cities, we would save a huge amount of energy. And you can do that actually with trees and not with air conditioning plants.
You mentioned the Eastgate Centre in Harare, one of your buildings and one of the buildings inspired by what you're describing now, the way in which termites create their home. Can you make the link for us? What did you mimic? What did you take into that centre?
Well, they make these towers, which are open at the top, so they work like chimneys. And the chimneys appear September, October, November, when the air gets hotter and hotter, just before the rains. And the problem for the termites is that when the air is about the same temperature as their nest, which is 31, the movement of air from underground castles where they live, stops moving. Because there's no buoyancy. Mm-hmm. They rely on a differential, a difference between the temperature inside the nest and the outside temperature. And when that stops flowing, they start to suffocate during the day. At night it drops, so they get movement again. But during the day, they need to enhance the movement of air, and they do that by building a chimney. And the top of the chimney is shaped to catch prevailing winds. So Eastgate uses night air to cool the building. And it does this by sucking night air into the building and blowing it through sort of very primitive heat exchangers under the floors of the offices, which are like sort of concrete teeth. And the air at night is driven by fans, which cause 12 air changes during the night to blow out the previous day's heat. Mm. And then during the following day, the teeth cool the air coming in. And this way we get about 4 degrees of cooling in the office with a diurnal or a shift of temperature, day and night temperature of about 10. But the result is that you save a huge amount of energy. Hmm.
So in Council House 2 in Melbourne, also, you know, use here of biomimicry as a a design principle. Tell us about that.
Well, Melbourne is a different climate, and we have to use a different form of thermal store. In Melbourne, we're using phase change materials in the basement, which are rather like the thing you put in your esky when you go fishing. It's what some people call the ice pack that's frozen. In other words, it's a phase change material that stores cool at night and uses that to cool the building the following day. But the Melbourne building is designed to suit the Melbourne climate, which is far more difficult than the one we have here. And that's 37 degrees south. Melbourne's right down at sea level. So there's a very stark difference. But certainly a lot of the principles that I've gained from here we've used in Melbourne.
That building in Melbourne, part of its intention is to be a project which inspires others, there are lessons there which can be learned by other architects and developers. Do you see that happening?
Oh, yes, it did. The star rating system was born while we were building CH2. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the big developers in Melbourne told me he would never build a building less than 5 stars in future. After CH2, so there was it had a huge influence on development in Australia.
It's a tremendous thing that architects can do in responding to the challenges we face at the moment with climate change. I mean, there's a cost saving obviously, but there's also a great saving in energy.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And you know, there are many ways in which you can copy processes in nature, not just termites. The facades of Eastgate copy the cactus in the desert. It's full of prickles, which are very much more efficient at not absorbing solar energy during the day and getting rid of energy or heat at night. So it affects the look of the building and the way it responds to the winds and sunshine.
It's an interesting interplay that architecture has had with the natural world. It's in so many instances in sympathy, but in other instances a dominating artistic form. It's an interesting contradiction within the practice.
Yes, I tried to copy forms using sort of symbolic natural forms. I don't think that's really the way to go. The way to go is to work with science and, you know, the way we interpret things going on in nature really helps to design. I mean, there's a very good example. If you study the heat in Melbourne and compare it with the outside temperature of around Melbourne, the countryside around Melbourne, the heat island effect in Melbourne is about 4 degrees hotter in Melbourne than outside. And that is mainly because of the efficient way in which trees disperse heat compared with flat surfaces that absorb heat and store it. So by growing trees in a city, you really reduce the ambient temperature as well as the colour of the buildings.
Has this always been a part of your work, Mick, or was there a sort of a breakthrough moment where you saw a termite mound, you thought, what was that point?
Well, it started with actually an Australian coming to visit us here who invented permaculture. What's his name, Fish?
Bill Mollison.
Bill Mollison. Bill
yes,
Mollison.
Indeed. Yes.
He's dead. Well, Bill came here, and I'll never forget him standing on a stage and telling us how the natural rainforest worked and how if we copied that in our agriculture, how it would change everything. And I thought, why don't we copy nature to build our cities? I mean, that was the first sort of message I got from Bill. And since then, you know, when one has followed nature and one has looked at nature in a different way, in the same way that Bill studied the rainforest and wondered why he was chopping down the trees and started to rethink the way in which we process farming, agriculture.
Well, an extraordinary development of some remarkable ideas. Thank you for sharing those thoughts, Mick Pearce. He's a architect based in Zimbabwe. He was the lead design architect for Melbourne's CH2 building, the Eastgate development in Harare in Zimbabwe that he's described. And yes, termites, cacti, all manner of biomimicry are involved in those structures. This is Blueprint for Living, mimicking nature here on RN.